Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork.
Jasmine Wardlow is a professional soccer player who just signed for the Central Coast Mariners in Australia's A-League. Jasmine has already made it across the world in her young career, playing for Santa Clara and Oregon in college, being drafted by the Houston Dash, then making her way to Serbia where she played Champions League games and Fiorentina in the Serie A. Jasmine's ups and downs have led her to this exact moment, knowing her true value, appreciating her journey, and being grateful for all that came her way. Enjoy.
So, Jasmine Wardlow, welcome to Footwork.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure. We always start with the motto here, which is make your own path. And as someone who's played in several countries now, you know, experienced different cultures, moving parts and everything, what does make your own path mean to you?
When I think of make your own path, when I hear that, I think of just being bold and fearless in whatever you're doing in life, because we all have unique journeys and stories and paths. But with that, also embracing it and enjoying it. I think sometimes it's so hard to just enjoy the moment, especially when it comes down to comparison. So being just bold and courageous and fearless, that's kind of been my motto. And then also learning how to enjoy it.
Brilliant. And before we dive deeper into your journey, tell us, who are you, where were you, and where are you going?
Who am I, where was I, and where am I going? That's deep.
Nice to meet you.
I mean, yeah. I know. Well, I'd say like in the past, I'd probably say, oh, I'm a professional soccer player or a professional footballer. Right now, I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. I'm a twin, granddaughter, all of these things, entrepreneur. But those are all things that I do. So that's like what I do. But I'm really glad that my identity comes from God. So I'd say I'm a child of God, and like, that's the best identity for me. And like, it's so dope and fun to be able to rep that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's who I am. And where was I? In terms of like, what do you mean? Like,
however it's you funny, want. It's where, open to interpretation. Yeah. Some have gone, wow, like,
where are you from?
Where's my journey gone? But also, like, some people have said, like, the resume. So we leave it up into interpretation.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Where was I? I'll take it this way. I would say I used to be in this space that I thought was like success, but now, like, me defining my own success, I've just kind of like rewrote that story. And so I would say like that's where I was, and currently I'm like living the dream, basically. And it didn't always look like this, like from the past. And where I'm going, I would just say up, like up from here. With anything I do in life, I want to be the best at what I do. And so just building off of that, and being at the top, like bringing others with me, I think that's extremely important, because like, who wants to be at the top alone? But where I'm going, yeah, I would just say up from here.
Up from here. Yeah. I mean, with all this knowledge that you have now too, with, you know, different definitions of success throughout the years, I loved what you said there. And I kind of wanted to bring it back to that. How has your definition of success, how do you think it's changed, and how do you think,
or why do you think it's changed throughout your journey?
I would say I think my definition of success has changed. I'll use this as an example. Like, I grew up always wanting to play professional soccer, and it's kind of like that revolving door where it's just always going to be the next thing. Like, you achieve one thing and it's like maybe not even 24 hours and you're like, okay, now I'm setting new goals. Yeah. And trying to achieve the next thing. And so achieving that, I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy it. So for me, that's my definition of success, is just like enjoying where I'm at. Whereas maybe in the past, I would have been like trying to climb the ladder or chase this worldly view of success.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a difficult balance, because as soccer players, as entrepreneurs, you're constantly trying to improve on the next thing and to go up and go up and go up and go up. But if you're up and down in terms of, you know, your gratitude for it or your happiness for it, then that journey becomes very difficult. And then I think that's kind of that divide when you start only looking at the destination instead of each step and how cool it is to take each step, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm so because I've had to learn gratitude, honestly. Like, it's a daily like habit and discipline that I'm really intentional on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been in that space where I wasn't grateful, even though there was so many things around me to be grateful for. So I love that.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to, we have a footwork original quote here, have a direction and not an endpoint. And it kind of, you kind of spoke on that, where you used to have these little endpoints, but realize that those endpoints don't fulfill you at all, because as soon as you get there, you're on to the next one. So learning to enjoy that, the process of the journey of getting to each step is actually what is fulfilling.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
How do you feel like, do you have any tips for people out there? Because that, like, that's another thing. I think the practicing gratefulness is a great thing. I mean, it's a tough skill to be grateful, especially in our careers as athletes. Do you have any advice or any tips and things that kind of helped you along the way?
What I like to do every day is I'll write out what I'm grateful for. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm always reading books, and like, I feel like self-help books, growth books, and that's definitely helped me. But in terms of like practical gratitude, just writing it down, whether you have to, I remember someone told me to write 100 things that I'm grateful for. And it was in this season where I was just so like negative, and it was really tough. And in the beginning, it was really hard to write down 100 things that I was grateful for, but that was just in my mind. And once I got over that, like, it just started flowing. Like,
I really like that.
Like, yeah, just little things, senses, to be able to see the beautiful sun, or like warm water, like just so many different things.
No, that's brilliant, because having a target, like having a larger target, 100 things you're grateful for, it's tough to think of that. Even if like you're in a great space and everything's going well, it's tough to think of 100 things. So it kind of tricks your mind into be always thinking of one more thing and one more thing. And then you're looking back and you're like, oh, damn, I'm grateful for a lot of things here. Like, there's a lot of things going right.
Yeah, I think especially too, when things are hard. Right now, I love like looking back like on my life and seeing like what has transpired and how many things have always worked out, even being in it, thinking that it wasn't going to work out. Yeah.
And looking back, you've been all over the map, but as we understand it, there's been some moving parts, and You are beginning a new exciting journey in a different part of the world. Can you give us a scoop to where you're at now?
Yes, so I'm currently in Australia, and I just signed with the Central Coast Mariners, and so it's the new expansion team in the A-League, and I'm super excited. Preseason will start in a little under a week and a half.
This is where we insert the applause. Yeah. Everyone cheering in the background. I mean, that's amazing. It's
thanks, guys.
This is another stop on the journey. How did this kind of come to fruition?
Well, my husband was playing basketball here, and he was in Melbourne. And I knew I wanted to leave Italy, and I was doing my research, talking to a lot of different players. They had nothing but great things to say about Australia as a place to live, the culture, the people, and as well as the league. So my eyes were set on the A-League and took a leap of faith, came to Australia. And it was honestly like, I could not have wrote this story. Like, it was all God, because I went to Sydney for the World Cup, and weeks prior I had messaged my current coach actually on LinkedIn, because I was so set on playing in Melbourne, like so set. It was Melbourne or like nothing. And then one day before this before training this off season, I was like, I think I should open my eyes to maybe playing in a different place in Australia. And so when I was in Sydney, she messaged me back. We hopped on the phone. The next morning, we got coffee together, and then it just took off from there. And it just worked out perfectly. I went to watch my friend in the World Cup and like left with an offer.
Wow.
Amazing. And this all happened via awesome. You reaching out on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. Because I was, I know I've had like crazy LinkedIn
we've had zero luck on LinkedIn. So that's why we're happy for you, but it's stung a little bit because I've messaged like 600 times on LinkedIn, you know? No, I'm just
kidding. Oh my God.
I wouldn't say 600, wow. But it's a large number.
Many.
But I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's like, it just takes one chance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so crazy. Like with LinkedIn, I don't know if you guys know this, but I became a personal assistant through LinkedIn, like for this celebrity couple. I won't say who, but through LinkedIn, like how crazy.
That is crazy, especially a celebrity couple.
Working
too,
great
like,
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to get you on the payroll. You have some success stories.
Some tips.
I know.
Yeah.
LinkedIn, sponsor me.
Yeah. What's going on with you? Have the premium? Do we not have the premium account? What's going on here?
No, you guys. Actually, for both of these, I did the premium, and then I set like a little alert and was like, cancel LinkedIn premium. Like, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah. You did the free trial subscription, free trial. And then you thought you had me.
Yeah. You thought.
That's amazing. I'm so glad that worked out for you. I mean, it just goes back to like, sometimes you just have to shoot your shot and just connect. I think the connections that you can build by yourself, even like sometimes you have an agent, and having an agent is amazing. And maybe do you have an agent as well?
I currently do, but I was in transition of switching agencies. And so I was basically this whole off season, I've been my own agent.
Just goes to show you too, like, you know, you don't always have to wait around. There's some ways, and maybe it didn't work for Sean and us, but it worked for Jasmine. So
yeah, like it's funny. It just goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, like be bold, because for sure me behind the phone, I'm like, oh my gosh, what if she doesn't respond, or what if he doesn't respond, but just be bold and courageous and fearless and just see what happens.
Was this the first time that you reached out on for yourself trying to reach out to a team without relying on an agent in your career?
No, not the first time. I've used LinkedIn before. I think it was, I can't remember, but no, it's not the first time. It probably sounds mad to, like, I don't know, if you were to talk to an NBA player or an MLB player, like, in the States, like, how many of them are reaching out to a coach on LinkedIn, you know, like,
I would say probably never.
Definitely zero. And
that's the beauty. That's the beauty.
This is the beauty of what we're doing. Exactly.
Sean and I have it's a good connection here, because Sean and I have been talking about, like, opportunities, checking enough boxes, and then making sure after experiences that you've had throughout the years, like, you have that experience and now you know what your worth is as a player. You've seen what's out there. So having those opportunities that come in and help you when you're joining the club to make sure that those boxes need to be checked. So for you, especially as you were kind of being your own agent in this period, what were you looking at? Like, what boxes needed to be checked for you when you were looking at a new club?
Oh, wow. You guys are asking some amazing questions because this was, like, the craziest offseason I've had so far. And I think that was because I just knew everything was going to work out, but it was more so, like, defining my values and, like, what I'm looking for in my next move, like, whatever next team I'm going to sign with. And so some of the boxes were, like, I wanted to play left back. Mm-hmm. I was getting recruited as a center back, which I can play both positions, but my heart right now is, like, set on left back. So, like, position, accommodation, like, I didn't want any shared accommodation, especially not as newlyweds. Like, accommodations from housing, car, however they could help. And it was really hard to do this on my own because I've never negotiated anything before. Like, so especially, like, as a woman, I think it can be intimidating to negotiate on that front. And then as well as, like, where I'm going to live. Being from California, I want to be in warm weather. Yeah. Going back to, like, my college recruitment, I knew I didn't want to play on the East Coast. And so with that being Melbourne, like, it would have been a little bit tough, but Australia will warm up. And especially having a healthy team / club environment, like, relationships are one of my top values. And so, especially after the experiences that I've had, that was something that was, like, a non-negotiable, which, again, like, it's an expansion team. You don't really know what you're going to get. But I think in that, it's so beautiful because there's power in being able to establish, like, that culture, you know, make it how we want it. But those are just some of the boxes that come off the top of my head.
In terms of
also team... in terms of, like, sorry, facilities, like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Facilities. Like, I'm at a point in my career where I'm just like, come on, like, in terms of resources, let's support and invest in women's football. Like, especially if it's on the men's side, there's no reason why it shouldn't be there on the women's side. And Central Coast is doing a really, really great job at making us equal on those fronts. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
But what are, no, of course. I mean, that sparks a great avenue there. What are some of the ways that you see Central Coast, especially in terms of what you've seen abroad? You've been in a few countries now. So, like, what kind of sets that apart in terms of trying to bridge the gap to make it more equal and more fair?
Yeah, I think of two examples off the top of my head. One, the stadium, which is absolutely stunning. It's beautiful. I believe we're the only A-League team that the men's team and the women's team will play in the same stadium. As well as my, you know, getting recruited and like talking to my coach, she was very adamant, which I love, and I respect her so much for this, of having the women's team having like our own space. So we won't be training on the same grounds as the men. And honestly, I think that's all right. We'll be at a university and the Lionesses left all of their equipment for us. So we've got new, beautiful gym.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
For us, like specifically, like the women's team. Because I asked our manager, I'm like, hold on. Because it just said Central Coast Mariners. I'm like, that could be men or that could be women, but it's specifically for us. Mm-hmm. Where we're not competing with the men's team for gym time, field time, meal time, all of that stuff. So.
Oh, that's amazing. Because I'm sure at other opportunities, it's felt like, you know, they might be trying, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, the men are at this level and you're at this level. And that it can't be a good feeling to walk through and think of myself as a professional player. And they're still holding you back as kind of second class within a club. That can't, I mean, it's tough for me for people who don't see that and then don't support the bridging of this gap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to hear and it's tough to experience it. So.
Your time there with this World Cup and everything, how was that in terms of seeing the excitement around the women's game and seeing the excitement for Australia and then kind of bringing that into these next, you know, A-League women's seasons? How do you see that?
Man, it's the perfect time to be here, I think, playing in the A-League. Coming off just, like, that momentum from the World Cup being here as well as New Zealand, like, people who never watched, like, Aussies that have never watched women's soccer were watching women's soccer. And so with the A-League being right around the corner, hopefully they'll still come out and support, you know, those fans. Like, fans are huge. Like, and then just to see the investment that's being made, It's the perfect time to be here. Yeah, I'm excited.
Were you getting a lot of banter from Australians about them going a little farther than the U.S.?
Honestly, no.
Oh, that's nice. I got some different banter in Australia when I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I think they were. No, yeah, yeah. I think they were like a little sad that.
Oh, yeah?
Got knocked out. Yeah. Oh, nice.
We got fans everywhere. Footwork.club, the official website for all things footwork, is now live.
Check out all Footwork podcast content, including episodes, guest features, and YouTube videos.
The Press, a section with written articles, interviews, and blogs from ourselves and guests.
Game Time, updates about our season in Germany and what's going on behind the microphone.
Want to Go Pro, dedicated to helping soccer players follow their dreams with helpful info and our consultation sign-up. That's a free video call with us to connect and ask anything.
And of course, the Footwork Shop. We got some of the best merch around, as well as free PDF templates like a CV builder and much more.
So join the club at footwork.club.
Good. Then let's go back to your first professional experience, because it's you've come a long way and had a few stops along the way. Walk us through the ups and downs of the first year between the draft, first starts, playing time. And what did you take away from your first experience as a professional? And what did you look for in the next opportunity?
Man, 2019. Okay, 2019 with the Houston Dash. The draft.
I heard you were really nervous for the draft.
I was. Yeah. I was so nervous. Like, first of all, I didn't want to go to the draft. But one of my coaches, he just always sees the glass as full, like not half full or half empty. And he was just like, Like, what a great experience it would be to just be there in the room, like even if you don't get drafted. I'm like, okay, man, okay, fine, I'll go. And then like to have your dad and brother there, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. We'll make it a family trip. And then family I was vacation. So nervous sitting Yeah, to cold Chicago. But I was so nervous. My body was so tense, just sitting there waiting to hear my name called. I had to take like ibuprofen or Motrin or something afterwards because my muscles were just so tight. And the draft was a really cool experience. But with that, like, I still had to go and earn my contract. Like, I didn't receive a signing bonus or anything like that, maybe in other professional leagues. Like, I had to earn my contract, and I was one of the last few to earn a spot. And so I packed my suitcase, my suitcases, left college early, just finished one of my classes online. And that was a month where I wasn't getting paid. I wasn't making money. And it was really tough, like, to be in a new environment in terms of, like, the technical and tactical side of the game. Just physically, also mentally, and then to see other friends or teammates getting contracts and like me being one of the last to get a contract, like that season was really hard. But I think learning, like when I look back onto that season, I just think of how important the mental side of the game was, because like my mind was running crazy that season.
I bet,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like just dwelling on a missed pass, or if it wasn't to the correct foot, left or right, or missed tackle, just different things, just not uplifting myself, not really like even believing that like I deserve to be there. But luckily I had some really great teammates and friends that I could call my sisters now, and just for us, even if it's like one or two or three, like hopefully it's the whole team, but just to rally around one another and be like, you got this and I got your back, like through the ups and downs, like you can lean on me and we're going to do this together. Like, yeah. So Houston, that was a crazy time.
Especially in the first contract. Young. Yeah. So young. There's so much going through. I'm sure there is like this pressure you're putting on yourself to perform. There's a fear of mistakes. There's kind of like what you mentioned and alluded to there. There's this imposter syndrome.
Guys, there's a bunny.
Okay. There's let's get it on camera. Come on.
Wait, where can you see it? Did it leave? Oh, it left. Sorry, I'm from California. I don't really see bunnies, so like I would have been distracted the whole time. I'm sorry for distracting you.
No, that's all right.
I didn't want to be like
a special guest. No,
we could see it in your guest. Face. There was something. Yeah. I thought you were about to say there was a snake or something, but a bunny's also cool.
That was large bunny.
This is
okay.
The reason why you travel.
See, the wildlife here is crazy. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen kangaroos or what is it? Wallabies? Have you seen kangaroos and wallabies?
I've seen both, and I've seen a little, like the baby kangaroos, not like the massive kangaroos that are about to knock you
out.
Oh yeah, those ones are I've never seen, like I saw one, I think. No, maybe I didn't see one. I think I've only seen like the small, you know, like the little cuter ones.
So there aren't
big
kangaroos jumping around. It's only the little ones.
No, they're more like those are like more in the center, like in the desert. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And then the ones you'll get around kind of civilization are like cute and cuddly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't feel so intimidating.
I saw them at the zoo.
Okay.
They're not just like, I mean, maybe in the country, but like I haven't just seen a kangaroo like hopping around almost like freely.
Maybe one day. Coming back from our National Geographic pause there.
Sorry.
No, I love the excitement around a bunny. This is, like we said, this is the reason why you travel. Just one of them. Coming into that season, and I want to kind of speak to you a little bit about that idea of imposter syndrome, because I feel like we all kind of get it, especially early, or especially when maybe, you know, you've had a few tough games or tough practices and you start to look at those mistakes? Oh, I keep making this bad pass or whatever. Do I deserve to be here? It can escalate quite quickly. So I'm just kind of wondering, have you felt that throughout your career? Was that more just in that, in certain circumstances in that first contract? And then how did you kind of navigate it?
I only felt that way in 2019, during my time with Houston. And I think I only experienced it then because after that, I was like, I cannot go back there. Like, not locationally to Houston, but like mentally, like I will not allow myself to get so low. And just that negative self-talk, but getting there in my mind, like, to say no, like, never again to that was a journey in itself. But yeah, the mind is powerful.
And then what comes next is what we would say taking the training wheels off moment, where you go to a new country, Eastern Europe, playing Champions League. Did you ever expect yourself to do something like this?
No, never. Like, never. Oh my gosh. And with that, I'm just so grateful because I'm like, look at what I've been able to experience, traveling to so many different countries. I mean, you guys know, maybe you expected to be in, you know, in Thailand or Germany, or Australia, but I never expected my professional career to look how it did. And just growing up, like, wanting to play professionally, I just thought, like, play professionally, like, in the States, but it's the world's game, and like, look at where it can take you. But yeah, Champions League and living in Serbia, no, I never expected that.
Was that another hurdle for you? Was that another hurdle for you mentally, in terms of, like, you felt like your career had to go a certain way, or you saw other people's careers go like a certain way, especially Americans and NWSL, and then thinking, like, that hurdle of getting over, no, it can go this way and then this way, and it could be a sidestep and it can be this?
Yeah, I think it was sold to me as, you know, this is a stepping stone, you know, because I had taken a break from playing professionally. So, you know, this opportunity in Serbia is a stepping stone with Champions League. And then, so I was like, okay, cool. But once I was there and Champions League had ended, and, you know, all the smaller European countries where Champions League is probably the most competitive, like, the most competition they'll have, like, until the following year, because their leagues are so weak. Once I was there and I was able to experience it, that's where I was like, man, I'm looking at all my friends playing here or there, like, not anywhere in Eastern Europe. And that comparison just, like, kind of stole the joy out of the game a little bit. So it was tough. It was really tough.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think that's one of, if not the biggest barrier to gratefulness, is the comparison.
Yeah.
And no matter what, no matter how it looks, no one's situation is that amazing. You know what I mean? Everyone has these things, and there's so much that I'm sure that you learned from that year.
Yeah, just to enjoy the journey, like, because we're all going through trials, and especially, like, with social media, everything's usually posted as, like, glamorous, and but just to know, I think the vulnerability from, like, my close friends definitely helps me to know that, like, I'm not alone. Even if, like, we're not experiencing the same thing, but playing and being in the same career in the same industry, like, we do have a lot in common. But even if we don't, like, just having that community around me where we're sharing like vulnerability and like I don't feel so alone, that definitely helped. Yeah.
Do you feel like this set the stage for you to have this feeling become more normal of kind of testing yourself in the game by traveling to a new country, but also living in a new environment in a new place?
Yeah, just have like, I love to travel. And so I just have this like desire and passion for traveling and experiencing a new culture. And it's just with that, it's opened my eyes so much. And then just to be able to relate to more and just have like not so much a closed mentality. But now I'm at the point where I have no problem packing 2 suckages, maybe just 3, going. And just going. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what do I have to lose?
Yeah.
I'm doing what I love. Exactly. Like,
exactly.
When you're doing what you love, like, you can't lose. That.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't lose when you're doing what you love.
Yeah. And with that too, there, of course, that is, I like that.
So I'm saying that might be the title.
Yeah, I love
there
that.
There were of course other hardships here that actually many footballers experienced, and myself have definitely gone through it, many guests, and that comes down to the pay. Sometimes for whatever reason, it seems in the football world normal that you can work and then when you come to get your money for putting in this work, sometimes it seems that that's not a given. What happened in Serbia with this?
So it was the winter transfer window, and I had a feeling they weren't going to pay me when I was back home in California, especially because Serbia, like the Serbian league, had such a large like winter break. Like it was like almost 2 months, whereas like, you know, in England or Italy, like it might be, or Spain, it might be 8 days maybe. Yeah. And then, you know, like 2 of those are going to be travel days if you're going back to the States. So I did ask for my payment in advance and they said no, which was fine. But when I got back, like I was not receiving pay, and it almost became an issue that like I was asking for my paycheck. And even then, like not having an agent. So there are moments where I'm like, do I have an agent? Should I have an agent? Should I not have an agent? Like that would have been a really like great moment for me to have an agent. But in that, like I just put my foot down and was like, this is not okay. So then I ended up networking again. Like it just fell into place where I got connected with these lawyers. And I took them to FIFA and filed a claim against them. And it was like maybe 5 or 6 months. Oh my gosh. So many like emotions.
Coming back to light. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But FIFA ended up ruling in my favor, and the club ended up paying me more than what I was asking for in the beginning. But it was never about the money. Like I just knew in my heart and in my spirit that that was not okay. And I did not want any other women's players, especially going overseas to Europe when you're sacrificing so much to experience not getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. It comes down to, like you said, yeah, the money is important, but it's more the principle. And if no one ever stops it from continuing to happen, then it will just continue to happen because they get away with it without consequences, which happens in both the men's and women's game. But with that, even with that experience, would you do it again? Because you were able to play Champions League. You went to a new country, your first outside of the U.S. to play professional football. Would you do it again?
Oh my gosh. No one ever asked me that.
It's a good question, honestly. Like, after all the chips fell down and everything. Yeah.
I know. I mean, like, I wouldn't be here without, I wouldn't be who I am today without experiencing what I've gone through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if someone were to go overseas and like play for that club or in that league, I would say, no, don't do it. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. Like, again, it's the world's game. Like, I'm sure you can go somewhere else, you know, and have a better experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a great segue for this too. I wanted to ask you, because I think this is a growing movement too that should be seen by a lot of girls in college. Like you said, it's the world's game. There's so many opportunities there. So just because NWSL, if you don't get drafted or if you don't get that contract, like there's still the opportunity to play pro. There's countless opportunities. So for you, could you give us three pieces of advice for girls in college when they're thinking about going pro abroad?
Oh, man. You see.
You thought you were getting easy questions today. No.
Oh my gosh. Maybe a little. No. Okay. I just think back to when I was a senior and I wanted to play professionally. One, the agent situation. Mm. Like, reach out to players who have an agent or represented by that specific agent. Because there are a lot of agents out there and they all do not have your best interests. Like, the agent side of things, that was a topic that like I had no clue about. And I was just trying to navigate those waters. I think I've just gotten to that point where I know kind of like what to look for an agent. Like, for example, the previous two agents that I had, like I was paying them a monthly payment. And it wasn't until this off season where two of my teammates that I've played with like all around the world, they were like, why are you paying your agent monthly? Like, usually it's an upfront fee or the club is paying them. Like, yeah. That. Yeah. And I was like, wait, hold on, what? Mm-hmm. And both of them, they don't know each other, but I got that information from both of them. And they're like, you need to get rid of your agent, like, now. And I'm like, on it. So, like, for example, like, I did not know that, you know, especially as a woman footballer, like, we're not making that much money. And then I'm going to go and dish it to you every month. So, yeah, the agent front was, like, something that the agent front is something that I would tell a player aspiring to play professionally to just like be mindful about. And then just being like intentional and defining like your values, because I've learned this in the past like 6 months, I'd say. Like, you can have such an amazing opportunity in front of you, but if it doesn't align with your values, like, that's where there's going to be like, you know, like that unsettling in your heart. Yeah. And like in your spirit. And I feel like I experienced that a little bit in Italy. But just off the top of my head, like, those are the two like big things that I think of. And then just doing your research, trying to like talk to players who have played there or currently play on that club, and like ask about the resources, ask about the team dynamic. I mean, teams always change, you know, people are getting traded and waived, injuries happen, but that culture of a club should always be there. So I would just say, like, do your research.
Yeah, from a lot of the women that we've spoke to on this podcast and talking, you know, even off air, it seems like the women are very open to helping other women, especially if it's just questions. So I think that's such a main thing, is like, you can find people on Instagram and DM them. And I'm sure if they see it, like, they're going to help you. They may not be able to help you with a contract, but at least they can answer some questions. And it's something that Sean and I do as well. Just, we do like a consultation thing where if you want to connect with us, we can answer any questions. We're not saying we can help you with a contract because obviously we don't know you. It's tough for us to put our name on the line and things like that. But the information that can be out there and can be more readily available just from players who've gone through it, I think that's such a key thing, is to just reach out, ask questions, and like you said, get that information so you can make more informed decisions. You know, like you said, with the agent, you didn't know that until you said this off season, and you've played a lot. You've had, you know, like hopefully a much longer career ahead of you, but you've played in multiple places. And that's just one of those things where if there was more, you know, communication throughout both games, both men's and women's, I think a lot of players would be able to make these informed decisions.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it like this. When I stepped away before I came back to playing professionally, I had two, I guess, like non-athletic jobs, right? So I was like a personal assistant, and then I was in medical device sales. Take like a corporate job, like before you take a corporate job, like they're either going to tell you all the job description, everything that, you know, is going to come with the role. So it's like in sports, I know it's a little bit different, but I'm just like, wow. Like we, especially as women, and maybe you guys experience it too, like you will sign not knowing anything. Like I've signed
at least a lot. Yeah.
Not knowing. Yeah. Where I'm going to live, who I'm going to live with, from like who's picking me up from the airport, like these little things where you would just assume that you would know, but you don't. But it's like, just ask.
Yeah.
Ask the right questions.
Now there's something, I think, Dylan, we spoke about this recently. I'll just play devil's advocate here, because I think with a lot of experiences, sometimes knowing less allows you to make the jump and take the opportunity. Whereas otherwise, if you knew everything that was about to come, you wouldn't make the jump. Is there something to that? For example, your Serbia experience, that was your first experience going abroad, and it wasn't the best experience ever, but you got a lot from it. And if you knew all the things that were about to come, probably wouldn't have taken it. But is there something to not knowing too much information?
That is devil's advocate.
I pulled this to both of you guys.
Do you want to go first?
I think, because just knowing from our experience, there can be quite a few barriers in terms of like mentally wanting to take a contract. So I think to a certain extent, I mean, not knowing maybe a few details that wouldn't be so changing in your day to day, absolutely. It also depends on like, yeah, it's tough, because I know a lot of players who have gotten started in things that if they look back at, it'd be tough for them to take it again, but it's gotten to them to a level. Whereas maybe they didn't get that first step. If they, you know, like they, if they didn't take that first step, maybe they didn't get the second one. So it's a tough question, because obviously you have to know your worth as a person and a player and your own values, but there is the balance of how bad do you want it? Are you ready to take something temporary, but obviously not so ideal, in order to get to a level which will be ideal and have your whole checklist. I can't answer that like in a yes or no, to be honest with you. It is a very devil's advocate question there, Shawnee.
And
yeah,
Jasmine?
It is. Okay. I
she didn't want to answer.
Like,
she was like going to the next one.
I agree 100%. I think I look at it as, all right, I'll experience it, so maybe you don't have to. I think especially now, like, it's such a fun and exciting time to be a women's professional footballer. Like, obviously with the World Cup and just like the investment that's being made into our sport. But I love what you said about knowing your worth. Like, if you can like you know, have your checklist, like, why not?
Yeah.
Obviously, like, with this sport in general, like, anything is going to be a grind. Like, you're going to have to grind through whatever it is. Like, it's not going to be perfect. But it just goes back to, like, I love what you said, like, knowing your worth and kind of knowing, like, what you're willing to put up with. Because if we all talked about it, like, you might, something might bug you and it might not bug me. But yeah, just knowing, like, what you're willing to sacrifice and what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, like, especially a lot of players, when they're trying to get that first contract, a lot of the times it's such a focus to be a professional and to have that identity and everything, that you kind of, it's easy to look past, like, a lot of details at first, and then kind of, I don't know, rush into something that maybe not be the right opportunity. But it also is that balance of, like, you have to take something in order to get something. You can't always just wait around for the perfect opportunity. So there is that balance. And I think just being open with yourself and then talking it through with people and asking questions can help you realize, is this going to be worth it? Is this opportunity actually going to help me get to the next opportunity? How long, when, how much is it going to really affect me mentally and physically, you know, like, and then making that informed decision and not just being focused with, am I going to be a professional, or, you know, is there a few things that I'm not going to get and I'm going to just say no to this when it's actually going to be the best stepping stone for my career? That's the balance. And I think talking it through with yourself and other people is the only way really to combat it.
Yeah. Talking it through, I think, with yourself, your family and friends who know you best. And then other players, I think, is huge, because it is so exciting. Like, it's so exciting to have that first contract, that first offer come through, you know, but when you're talking about it with other players, you might realize that it's maybe not the greatest option or the greatest opportunity in terms of league, in terms of money. But how do you know these things if you're not talking about it with like your co-workers, I guess.
Yeah. Have you ever declined a contract, an offer or anything, or the potential of an offer, and just been like, no, this isn't for me?
Well, an official contract never came through, but it was getting to a point where I wanted to make a decision to play here in Australia, and all of the Melbourne teams, I took this, and then, you know, some of the coaches were like, have you signed with another club? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I did, but I don't know if that's like declining, but
still counts. It's still kind of in that realm of thinking about, like, what's in your checklist. I mean, this is kind of what I think makes this special, is that this new opportunity is that you've had all of this experience and all of these things. You've had Fiorentina, you've had Spartak in Serbia, you've had the Houston Dash, kind of accumulating in this next opportunity where, like, there is a lot more on the checklist that's been, you know, checked off. And I think having all that will just provide you with all the tools to perform, but also just, you know, enjoy each step in each training, hopefully more than some of the more difficult moments throughout your career.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Good.
I think it's time.
I'm still thinking about that question.
What's your answer, Sean? You pose it to yourself.
Yeah, no, I've been thinking. I've been listening. I think this is what I would say. So, yeah, I think it is different. it is different for everyone, because there's a few, like, there's got to be non-negotiables, right? So this is, it has to have this. So if I can find out if this contract will be included in this, or whatever, the country's safe, it's not going to be extremely dangerous for me to be in this country. But then at the same time, I think,
what's your levels of danger, Sean? You put the bar very high.
Yeah.
What about like pretty dangerous?
See, this is also my perspective, is because Mongolia was like, it was full-time professional. I made enough money in this country to be full-time. It was a first division in a league, so they're competing for like all of Asia, Champions League, Europa League. But at the same time, it was anything but professional in what I thought professional was. But I think having this experience and going to a country, and I went in with a very open mind, basically with no expectations, was a good learning experience. Then from Mongolia going elsewhere, it was always going to be up. So like I've said before, maybe I could have came to Germany a year early and it might have helped my career. Do I think so in the grand scheme of things in terms of football? No. But the experience I got from playing, oh, it was only 5 months in Mongolia, it was like priceless. And if I had to do it again, I would do exactly the same thing, because would I go back to Mongolia now? No, I wouldn't. But
you wouldn't play there again?
No, I don't think so. But when player, I've done that already. But when players reach out and ask me about it, I say, especially in the beginning of your career, like, do it. Because not only, yes, it's professional football and it's a new environment and you have a lot more pressure on you because you're one of the few foreigners, so you have to play. So these things don't happen elsewhere. In college, it doesn't exist because everyone's like an equal playing field. But also, you're in a completely different culture. So can you handle going to a new place and still performing? I think that's part of it.
It's a test. And
the other stuff that is not great, or that you could say is a negative, I just see it as like something that makes you grow, which ultimately you just grow as a person. And for all of us, we're in a situation where worst case scenario, you just go home. So it's like the worst case for us is not that bad. It's like worst case, okay, I just go back to the US. So it's like taking the risk.
If they allow you,
sure. Of course. If they allow you, I know some players.
That's a big one, of course. Of course.
Yeah, like, but I think trying to get out and the club's like, no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. But
I agree with you as well. Like, when I was talking to it makes me think back when I was talking to some of my friends, like, who had played overseas. I think all of their answers are always like, oh, like, I don't know if I would go back, but I grew so much as a person living overseas and navigating that. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of football, I think that's where it's kind of like, I don't know. But in terms of that growth as a person that you were talking about, they're like, yeah, I wouldn't change it for the world. And yeah, I would agree with that too.
Yeah, it's tough because knowing the places that I've played at and where I've, you know, played at recently, like, I would never go back and be like, take this opportunity again. But it's helped me, I guess, get to that stage where I wouldn't take that contract because my worth has now grown. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, what is it? A catch 22 in a way. I guess it's just situational in a way. Obviously, I don't want to be stuck in a country. But I also want to be able to further my career. So that's kind of my balance through it.
Yeah. Anyway.
It was a good thought. That is a good one. I feel like it's just an open-ended answer in the way.
Exactly. So now reflecting on your journey right now, what things would you say helped you get to this moment? So in other words, why did Jasmine make it as a pro and why is she still going?
I would say just probably my determination to never give up. Like, regardless of what was happening, I was just determined in my mind mentally to get through and just persevere. Because I look back and there are so many moments where I could have stopped. I could have quit and been like, all right, I'm done. I'm over this. The Australian bugs are coming out.
That's good.
But I would say my determination and my community, my friends and my family, my husband, those around me, that have just supported me through all of the ups and downs. I don't know where I would be without them. Yeah.
Love that. The support system is, I mean, it's crucial.
Huge. Yeah. So I would say those two.
Heading into some lighthearted fun to end out this deep soul searching podcast. We're going to do with a little fast feet round, some quick fire questions. But of course, if they spark a story or two, we're always down to hear. So the first one would be favorite player growing up.
Martha.
Baller.
Favorite moment in football.
Oh, favorite moment in football. I would say beating Stanford in the NCAA tournament with Santa Clara. Oh, there's so many. Yeah.
That's good. That's good that there's so many. Most difficult moment.
Easily my FIFA claim against Spartak, and playing in Italy.
Best advice you ever received?
Life is about the journey, not the destination.
Love it. Favorite place you've lived?
Australia.
There we go. Let's go.
Best player you've ever played with and against?
With Michelle Prince. Against Javi Roma.
Wow. If you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
Probably somewhere in the fashion industry, maybe like a stylist or something.
Okay. Life after?
Now,
second life after football now?
Okay. Yeah, second life.
Gotcha. Second life after football, gotcha.
Favorite book?
Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer.
Battlefield of the Mind. Okay, cool. We have a list, so we like to keep all the suggestions. Sean's writing it down. Thank you. Any any quote or mantra that you live by?
Well, actually, I guess this would be life is about the journey, not the destination. Mm-hmm. The best advice I've received is actually, it's not all about you. And that came from my dad.
That's so funny because that's such a dad advice, but it's so true.
Yeah, I got a shirt with that. It's not about you.
You have
sometimes
a shirt?
I need to hear that.
Is that on it?
Yes, yeah, so there's a company called GoRuck. This is a side tangent, but yes, this company essentially is like they put on like a 12 to 20 hour training so you can experience like basically what it would be like to train like in an extremely hard environment. But like I did it, but yeah, of course it's obviously crazy, but that's one of their like slogans is it's not about you. Cause it's
really?
Like a team effort. Like yes. Your little things aren't important. It's important, but like the team is the greater good of the team. Exactly. Or just in life in general, you could apply it to any situation. But yeah.
Yeah. Nice quote. Gosh.
It's not about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
No, but we want to thank you, Jasmine, for coming on. I know where there was some back and forth with us, but we got it. We got the schedule down. And I'm so happy we did because I feel like there was some amazing topics that we were able to open and hopefully provide for, you know, up and coming athletes or athletes still out there and, you know, want to hear this in a different way. So we want to thank you. We want to wish you the best of luck. We can't wait to watch along with your journey at Central Coast Mariners. And yeah, all the best from us.
Oh my gosh. Thanks, guys. No, thank you. This was awesome.
Amazing to reconnect with guests again. I'm sure you agree, Sean. I think, especially in our own journeys, it's amazing to kind of hear these things and then reflect on our journeys, you know, apply them to our current situations and everything. So we want to thank Jasmine so much for coming on and, you know, sharing her story with us, opening up with us. And I mean, some of these topics that we dove into, I think are super crucial. I mean, she's gone through a lot of different things in such a short span, you know, she's still got a long career ahead of her, but that checklist, like that we talked about, you know, kind of knowing your worth and knowing what you want and your opportunities.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, first off, it's great to have guests again. And yeah, they share their stories and then we find so many things in common, which is always amazing. And yeah, motivating also for us, which we always say, we get so much out of this ourselves. And I hope that it will help. I think a lot of good points, a lot of good topics that we discussed. And she had really great insight into some of the questions we asked her. And
yeah,
some interesting talking points. I mean, I think the one about like knowing so much information too, I'm still thinking about that. I think it's,
yeah,
you can play both ways for certain people. There's definitely certain boxes you want to check, but definitely getting as much information as you can is part of it. And we, yes, would both recommend that. You need to do, yes, the research. Don't go in blind. Sure, in some cases, maybe taking something is better than nothing, but not in all cases. And yeah, just sharing, reaching out to people, doing your own research. Yep. It's part of this. It's part of this journey. And yeah, it will help you either create an opportunity or find a better opportunity if that's the case.
Exactly. And I think, like she said, there's so much information that you can learn. She's, you know, she's on her, what is it now? She's on her fourth professional team. And she just kind of learned these things about agents that her, you know, her teammates and things were like, oh my God, like, you know, this happens this way and it should be happening this way. You know, these are the things, if you don't open up and talk to other players and stuff like that, you know, then the players don't have the power. And that's where we feel like the power should be. It should be with the players. And I think, you know, there was a lot of good advice for girls who are looking to take any countless opportunity that could be out in Europe. And yeah, I mean, I'm very excited for her in this new situation, this new opportunity. Australia, like she said, it's a great time for women's football right after the World Cup. She's playing in the same stadium as the men. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for other clubs to do that. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for her there to flourish. And yeah, so make sure you guys follow Jasmine and Central Coast Mariners to stay up with her journey and this season. And, you know, make sure you're following us and liking on all of our stuff, you know, all that free support helps, as we say, just a few clicks here and there, and it helps us immensely, you know. And yeah, connecting with us, players, fans, you know, let us know what you want to hear if you have questions about the game abroad, and hopefully we can bring that information and grow our networks simultaneously. I think that's what it's all about. Some exciting things on the way. I think for us, we're classic teasers, Sean and I, but I think we'll hold off until we have a little bit more information on all these fronts. But, you know, it's great to have guests back again. Expect many, many more. And yeah, anything I'm missing there?
No, I think that's it.
I love
that's it. That's about it. So until next time.
Keep moving forward.
Keep learning.
And make your own path.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not,
I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor. It doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.